righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Brian Finneran going to join us coming up. 20 minutes from now, we'll do a little QB carousel, feature the Atlanta Falcons today. Scott Drew will join us next hour, along with Jerome Tang as well. Scott Drew, his team did go down over the weekend to Creighton in the NCAA tournament. We all know Coach Drew did win the national championship back in 2021, and Jerome Tang was his assistant. And now Coach Tang is off to the Sweet 16 here in New York at Madison Square Garden, where they will do battle up against Michigan State coming up on Thursday. Kansas State, by the way, was picked to finish last in the Big 12 before the year did commence. And Isaiah Wong, by the way, for the Miami basketball team, the ACC Player of the Year, is going to join us coming up later on in the show at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. Hickey, I did not have this on my bingo card last night on things that would pop up that we would then talk about coming up tomorrow, which would be today. So Cam Newton took to Twitter last night. And I don't know about you, I haven't thought about Cam in 2 years. Because as much as I like Cam, the football player, and what Cam did for the game, he lost that job to Mac Jones. And he's never, outside of Carolina, when he went back, that was the last time you thought of Cam. Right? When he goes back to Carolina, he rips his helmet off and screams, "I'm back," up against the Cardinals. After that, he was a disaster in Carolina. He failed in New England. So last year, when he does not get an opportunity, kind of out of sight, out of mind, and we'll play you some of this audio in a bit, and I'm someone that likes Cam. I have a Superman shirt, Super Cam shirt. I've always rooted for Cam. I thought some of the pushback he would get for celebrating and giving footballs to children was absolutely ridiculous. Cam Newton was great for football, but the guy's not a good quarterback anymore. He's not anywhere close to being a starting quarterback in this league anymore. And there's going to be teams that don't want to bring him in as a backup because we know the way that Cam is viewed or the way that he was viewed in the past. And when you've been to that level, it's tough to then take a backup role. Like, for example, and the guy I'm about to mention, Carson Wentz, has not even come close to accomplishing anything Cam has accomplished on a football field. But Carson was a number 2 overall pick, Cam a number 1 overall pick. Cam won an MVP in this league. Carson, if he didn't get hurt in that year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, would have won an MVP. And when you are picked that high up in the draft, and eventually your career starts to fade out. And for Cam, it happened a lot longer and later in life than it did for Carson Wentz. It is tough to take that number 2 role because you have an alpha persona and an alpha mindset that got you in the spot to be a first or a second pick in the NFL draft. And I don't think that a team and a coaching staff is going to want to deal with Cam, even though Cam did a nice job in that Carolina locker room when he went back there 2 years ago. But I don't think it's as easy as what people make it out to be. Like, can Cam be a backup quarterback in this league just based off merit? Yeah, absolutely. But if you're developing a young quarterback, or if you have someone there, it is tough for your starter to deal with what he's done in the league. Because look at this, like, for example, Hickey. You have Panthers fans that still think Cam is a great quarterback in this league because of what he did for that team and what he meant for that organization years ago. I know people in Carolina are obviously not fond of Matt Rhule with what happened, but I was fine with the initial move and still am to get rid of Cam. Because at that point, it was a few years after Cam was great. And what has he done ever since? He went to New England, and outside of one great game against Seattle in week 2, he did nothing in New England. He fumbled away a lot of games, and there were moments like the Denver game where all Brandon McManus did was kick field goals. He couldn't late go down the field and get a touchdown. I think he missed N'Keal Harry so wide, and I never defend N'Keal Harry, but he wasn't even close to hitting N'Keal Harry. And then there was that game against Buffalo where they're driving and he fumbled the football. where they were going to either, I think, tie the game or go win the game. And I think it was 24-21, if memory serves me right. So someone that was originally excited about Cam coming to New England, very quickly I realized, wow, he's not good anymore. Forget being great, he's not good anymore. And then Mac Jones, who the jury still out on Mac Jones, walks in and beats Cam out for the job. So now, with all those things happening, if you haven't been able to readjust where Cam is now in the year of 2023 as a football player, there's nothing that I could say to change your mind. But Hickey, for someone like Cam that's been synonymous with greatness, the fact that he has to release a pump-up video for him to throw at the Auburn Pro Day, which I gather was today, is kind of embarrassing. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're an Auburn football player, it's pretty damn cool that Cam's coming back for the Pro Day and he's going to throw to you. But you shouldn't be making this about yourself. It's about the kids that are getting ready to go on to the NFL. But the fact that he feels like he has to throw at a Pro Day to at least get on some team's radar of the scouts that are going there to watch these kids in the Pro Day, and that you're going to hype this up, it's kind of embarrassing for Cam that that's how far his career has fallen, where you're still trying to get back into the NFL, and the only way that you're going to make the rounds and make a wave of really moving the needle to get your name out there is that you have to hype up that you're throwing at a Pro Day. Like, if that's ever a sign, Hickey, that the NFL career as a starter for Cam is over, I've never seen more of a sign than that video last night.
Cam Newton in this day and age sucks. That's all we can say. He sucks. He is not good. The NFL has told you he's not good.
Well, sucks
he was
a little
not
strong.
Good in New England. He was not good in Carolina. He thinks it's still 2015. It is long gone from there. And like you said, it's pathetic that we're sitting here hyping up a Pro Day that you're going to now all of a sudden be back and better than, forget 32 guys, because he thinks that there are not even 32 guys better than him. There are 64 guys at least better than you right now. And
well, I wouldn't say that. There's not 64 quarterbacks in the NFL that are better.
There's not one person right now on an NFL roster I would take Cam Newton over. He's not good.
Hold on. You could say he's not good, but there's a lot of bad, and I mean brutally bad people at the quarterback position that end up making a roster and they get thrown into it and you never want to see them play again. Like, at least he will always have the running ability. And that could be used to win a game still in the year of 2023 in the NFL. There are some really bad. You can't tell me there's 64 better quarterbacks than Cam in the NFL.
I would say maybe even 70. Like, he is so far down on the list. And I don't know what anyone has watched that would say otherwise.
Like, Once again, I'm not making this argument that Cam could still be a good quarterback. You know my thoughts on Cam. But if you're telling me you need to win a game tomorrow in the NFL, and let me just go to the Bills roster. So I'll go to the Bills roster, for example.
Was it Matt Barkley?
Matt Barkley.
I would take Matt Barkley.
You'd rather have Matt Barkley
yes.
over Cam?
Like, what is Cam? Like, what has Cam done?
Okay, what has Matt
still
Barkley
have
done?
Left in the tank to show you that he can even, you know, play at like a competent level.
But once again,
arm strength is gone. His body is
what
gone.
What has Matt
it's a shame.
Barkley done?
Enough to back up
Nothing.
Josh Allen.
He's the third string guy. They've Kyle Allen
string.
In there now.
Okay,
come on.
What do you come on?
To win one game, you'd rather have Matt Barkley over Cam, or at least he can still run Cam 18 times.
Why is no one signed Cam Newton? Why did Cam Newton go unsigned last year?
Well, one.
No one thinks he could play.
No. One, he's not as great as what he thinks he is. And that is tough to bring someone that is an alpha like that into your locker room and have him be in that backup role, because I don't know if Cam can handle being in that backup role. That's what I think it is. I'm not telling you that I think this guy is a great quarterback anymore. I just led the segment saying that, how it's embarrassing that it's got to this rate. But if he was willing to accept the backup role, and you know when he goes into place, you say, I'm still a starting quarterback in this league. I still always believe in myself. I'm better than 30, you know, some of the 32 guys that are starting right now. That does make it difficult for the coach to deal with on that roster. Now, there's still guys that start in this league, or guys that get opportunities to start in this league throughout the season that are worse than Cam. But anyway, let's hear some of this audio last night. This is via Cam's Twitter. Cam is excited to show everyone why he still has something left in the tank.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to say it. I can't wait to say it. Oh, I love it. I love it.
This is a weird video. It is. And here's the thing that Cam's not realizing. He is now one of the randoms. Like, based off play, he's not someone that people are now saying, unless if you're just a Panthers sycophant or a Cam sycophant, wow, he needs to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So you are now, even though you have a great history in this league and you've been a tremendous player and you've been someone I've rooted for, you are in that random conversation where no one expects you to ever be a consistent starting quarterback again in the NFL. Let's hear one more. This is Cam saying there aren't 32 better quarterbacks than him right now in the NFL.
Seeing a lot of people toting the idea, and it's official. I will be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day Tuesday. Ain't 32 better than me, you did.
So there you go. I appreciate that he still has the confidence, but when you just set out an entire year of football, and to our knowledge, no one really came calling, it's tough to then sell that there's 32 better starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Now, I will say this. The most damaging part about where Cam's career is at, and I've said this before, is that Ron Rivera and him were attached at the hip. And we know what Ron Rivera accomplished with Cam as his quarterback. The Commanders have had a gaping hole at the quarterback position ever since Ron Rivera's got there. And even though Ron Rivera once said, oh, they were close to bringing in Cam, there's never seemed to be genuine interest from the man that supported you the most in the NFL and knows you the most and knows you the best in the NFL than Ron Rivera. Like, if I'm Cam Hickey, that has to be the toughest pill to swallow when the Commanders have been such a joke of an organization and the Commanders have had so many bad names in at the quarterback position recently that you've never got at least in that building in the last 2-3 years for Ron Rivera. Like, that's the most damaging part of this.
And like you said, it speaks volumes to where Cam's play is. It's a shame because his style has kind of led to his body breaking down. It's sad, again, because it's just all the hits he was and what led to his greatness is now also leading to his decline. But it's the reality of the NFL, and that's, again, why players want to get paid as much as they can as soon as they can, because you see the toll it takes. And for Cam, he's a shell of himself. He's nowhere near what he was in 2015, and that's why he said Ron Rivera, even when he was desperate, never called. No team last year called. You see Carolina, they tried to call. I would say regretted that call. When you went back to Sam Darnold after he was arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL, Sam Darnold was. And then there's Matt Rule saying, oh, thank goodness, Sam Darnold's off IR. Like, that's how bad it got.
Also, that's got to be tough, though. Think about the human side of it as well. When you go from being that great and then it quickly just fades, and Cam isn't an old man. Like, if he would have stayed healthy and if his body didn't break down on him, you could think, right, that at 30, he's 33, I think, and he go play for another 5 years. So you still feel young. Like, that's got to be the toughest part. You still feel young. You still feel like you could play. But then whenever you get out on the field, in the last 2 years that you're able to get on the field, you didn't really put out a great product. You never had anything consistently stick if you're Cam. And that part, I have sympathy for Cam, because I do think that's very difficult to handle personally.
No, I would. That's fair, because especially too with his decline, because of his body just declining, his decline happened so rapidly. Where just like it's almost like a year and a half, and it's like he's 10% of what he used to be. But part of that now of Cam not being with the job and not, you know, having any teams calling, now you having to go to a pro day and hype up this pro day is, you know, basically another tryout. Yeah. Is the fact that he has not accepted where he is. He's not accepted reality. He still is living in the past. Still thinks he's Superman. He is not. And that, if you want to call it hubris, is preventing him from getting another job.
Do you dislike Cam, just wondering?
I'm done with Cam. Because this is not the first time he's talked about being 32 guys being better than...
Yeah, he's done that quote before.
So I am sick of him because he's not good anymore. And I'm sick and tired of him preaching that, you know, all these guys suck and how he is better than, you know, 20 other quarterbacks, or there's not 10 other quarterbacks that are better than them. I'm sick of it because you do stink right now. You are not good, and you don't accept that. And you
so that's what it is.
I don't hate Cam Newton the person. I hate Cam Newton the fact that all he's doing is spewing this garbage of how he's so much better and putting down everyone else around him instead of realizing that you're the problem.
The reason why I asked that, I didn't know if there was something before that you just didn't like about Cam, because I don't usually see you get this worked up about someone, but when you do consistently say that you're still better than 32 guys or some of the 32 guys that are starting in the league, I can understand where that does get tired. I used to be a big Cam fan. I'm not saying that's changed at all when you say it like that, but he's just been out of sight and kind of out of mind because he didn't play at all this year. And when we've seen him actually get opportunities in Carolina when he came back, and then before that in New England, and this is coming from someone that was optimistic as a Pats fan when he got to New England, he never did anything that was like, ooh and ah, this is wonderful. And there's always excuses that get made by his most loyal supporters. Oh, they had nothing in New England. Don't turn over the ball in a big spot. Be able to make sure that N'Keal Harry go catch a ball, even though he'd probably drop it anyway, when you were going up against the Broncos. Don't fumble the ball away up against the Buffalo Bills and the team is going to drive to win.
How about beat out Mac Jones, who you had an advantage over in terms of knowing the playbook and knowing the players? You could say 2020, COVID, he got there late, and you can make excuses if you want. Well, then training camp, he got beat out by a rookie quarterback who's been there for a few months, and he couldn't even keep a job. Right. So it's just like
they made the playoffs, by the way.
If you are telling everyone how great you are over and over and over again, there's a reason for it, because no one else believes you.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll come on back with Brian Finneran, who will join us next.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Atlanta Falcons.
All right, we'll chat it up right now with the former Falcons wide receiver. That, of course, is Brian Finneran, kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Brian, appreciate the time. I know it's been a while. How you been?
Good, Zach. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. So, week one, well, do you think it's going to be Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heinicke starting for the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, my gosh. It better be Desmond Ridder. He spent some draft capital on him last year, got a chance to start four games at the end of the season with some mixed reviews, and I think Taylor Heinicke understands his role on this football team right now, unless he does something spectacular in training camp and preseason, which is very hard to do at the quarterback position. I think you can push all your chips in on Desmond Ridder.
What are your expectations if they do give Desmond Ridder this entire season as the starting quarterback?
That's a great question. They're measured, I can promise you that. I'm not sure exactly what we have. You have a guy that started, I think, how many games did he start in college? Three or four years straight in college. So he has some experience. He got four starts last year, kind of threw him into the fire in New Orleans on the road, where he was sacked four times and completed 50% of his passes. So a little rough there. And then he welcomed that with a trip to Baltimore, another top five defense. So it was an early kind of wake-up call and a tough go for the first couple weeks, and then settled in a little bit, got a couple home games against an Arizona team that was struggling in Tampa Bay. That sat Tom Brady a quarter and a half into the game, got a couple wins and a couple touchdown passes. So expectations are measured, cautiously optimistic. I'd like to see him put on a little bit of weight and do some of the things he did in college. You know, soft touch passes across the middle, good to go routes, use his athleticism a little more. It was such a small sample size, Zach. It was hard to tell exactly what we got, but you got a guy that looked like he belonged, which I think is first and foremost when you get in the huddle with a rookie quarterback, I did it with Michael Vick and I did it with Matt Ryan, and you just see something in their eyes when you get in that huddle. And if it's the right thing that you see, it feels good. And he looks like he is comfortable there. So that's first and foremost. And then it's a matter of learning the system, learning your guys, and getting comfortable in there.
How about the talent around him? Like, I do enjoy what I saw from Tyler Allgeier this year. Drake London, I think, is going to be a good player. There's high expectations for Kyle Pitts. Do you think they have enough to really get a full evaluation on Desmond Ridder this year with the roster around him?
Yeah, no doubt. You added tight end Jonnu Smith, and last time he was with our head coach, Arthur Smith, was up in Tennessee, and that joker caught 8 touchdowns up there for the squad when Arthur was the offensive coordinator calling plays. You just added Mac Collins from the Raiders, who had a breakout year himself. So he has enough weapons. The run game is what this team is backed by. Tyler Allgeier did a really nice job last year. Tough to bring down. You just solidified your offensive line with a right tackle and Caleb McGarry with a new contract. Chris Lindstrom broke the bank with a huge deal at the right guard position. The only question mark left is left guard. So fill that void, and I think you got good protection. You got some nice weapons. He didn't have the pleasure of working with Kyle Pitts last year, who was banged up and missed the last part of the season. So throw him in the mix with Drake London, like you said, who had a really nice rookie season with 70 catches and did some nice things. I think you got enough weapons to do something. And then you still have the draft where you're going to add some pieces as well.
What ended up happening with Calvin Ridley? I know he's now with the Jaguars. Even before the gambling suspension and that news came out, there was a big belief that he was going to get traded last offseason. He gets dealt at the deadline. Well, what is the truth there between Ridley and the Falcons and why that relationship didn't work out?
I don't know if you – did you end up reading the article he put out in the Players Tribune?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's really good, and it kind of goes through, and it's all written by him, and it goes through some of the things he was dealing with. I mean, football is tough, and then you got family and kids, and he had a few off-field situations he had to deal with. He was, I think, robbed at gunpoint at one point. I think his house got robbed. He had a lot of stuff go on where his mind was not in the right place. And then he was banged up as well, apparently, which he let us know. He had a foot injury that was misdiagnosed, as he wrote in the article. So apparently at the end of that deal was playing with a broken foot and just couldn't do it mentally and physically towards the end of the season, and then got himself in a world of hurt, and he broke one of the top rules in the NFL is do not gamble on football, especially on your own team, for God's sakes. And he did that when he was off away from the Falcons and put himself on the suspended list. So it was unfortunate. It was somewhat nasty social media-wise for a while because a lot of people didn't understand what was going on and what he was going through. I think as a Falcons fan, you're hoping he does well in Jacksonville, because if he re-ups for a deal there, you get a second-round pick from Jacksonville, so you can get that coming back. But an unbelievable football player, really good wide receiver, and just had a really tough couple years personally and physically on the football field.
Now, definitely check out the article talking to Brian Finneran right now. And also, I know that there's going to be some rust to knock off when you basically haven't played football in 2 years, but I could see him having a monster season in Jacksonville. Like that right now, talking about a good destination to land in with Trevor Lawrence and some of the roster and the talent they have on the roster, I think he's going to have a big year.
No, he's going to have – I would agree with you. I mean, he's a special receiver. Even towards like the end of his tenure in Atlanta, in the middle of the season, he was doing some strange things. He was avoiding contact, running backwards after he caught the ball. It was super frustrating as a fan watching and a former receiver, and I was very critical of him. But he has all the skill set. And then match him up with Trevor Lawrence, who really is coming into his own, and then a head coach like Doug Peterson, who was my quarterback in Philadelphia back in '99. Running that West Coast offense with creativity and being a quarterback himself, wanting to see receivers succeed, I think Calvin Ridley is in a great spot in Jacksonville.
Should the Atlanta Falcons pursue Lamar Jackson, in your opinion?
No. I think this team has been so bad defensively for so long, especially at trying to kill the quarterback, that you have to find either – you have to spend 2 or 3 draft picks in the second and third round on guys that can go get the quarterback, or at the number 8 pick, You can go get a Miles Murphy or Tyree Harris or whoever these guys are, big, long, strong, 6'4", 6'5", 270-pound defensive ends that want to get after quarterbacks. It doesn't make sense, in my opinion. You got to rebuild this team defensively before you start worrying about Lamar Jackson. And it's been interesting, Zach, and I don't know what the national take is, but the fact that it was for a while there, all the fans and pundits around Atlanta were like, go get Lamar, he's our guy, 2 first-round picks, who cares, $50 million guaranteed a year, whatever, we can do it. And then the whole time I was like, we're trying to build a football team here. Lamar Jackson is a phenomenal football player. But this is an ultimate team sport where you have to be protected. You have to guys make plays for you. You have to have a run game. You have to have a defense that sacks a quarterback. And the Falcons have too many holes in that regard to be spending that kind of money and throwing away that kind of draft capital to go get a guy like Lamar Jackson.
But I just think that's risky. I get what you're saying. You want to build the rest of the roster. But if you go get a quarterback like Lamar, I kind of think it would be a little foolish by the Falcons to try to wait. Because who knows when you're going to get someone like a talent like that again.
Very true. We had a guy like Michael Vick for a while, yeah, who was pretty special. Got us to an NFC title game when I was playing. We had a guy like Matt Ryan, got us to the Super Bowl. Listen, Lamar is a generational-type player. With that said, I didn't even mention the injury history he's had the last 2 years. Scares the hell out of me. I've played with a couple running, in quotations, quarterbacks, athletic quarterbacks. And there's just so many more opportunities for those guys to get banged up. Sitting here and watching Matt Ryan play for 15 years and miss 2 games, I mean, that was pretty fun to be a part of. So I get it. It's just, for me, it was too much to give up. And I guess I'd ask you, where is every other team in the NFL looking for a guy like Lamar? We're not the only team that needs a quarterback.
I think it's probably going to happen after the draft. I think they're waiting to try to get that money to go down, and all it takes is one team to really show that interest. And I saw there was a Florio report out there today that his rep, who's not certified by the NFL Players Association, has at least talked to one team or more than one team. So I would think after the draft, maybe it starts to pick up, but who knows? The whole thing has been really bizarre. The one thing that's just bizarre to me with the Falcons is they were ready to do whatever it took for Deshaun Watson, it felt like, last year, just from covering from afar. And then a year later, to not at least make an offer for Lamar Jackson, maybe it happens in a month or two now. That's what's always been weird to me.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's a great point. The whole Deshaun Watson thing blew my mind, and it hasn't worked out yet, and it's still early in Cleveland. Another guy that's a special football player, but, I mean, again, I'm not – there's a very few guys in the NFL – Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, obviously Tom Brady when he was playing, that can lead a team to victory. And Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, that can lead their team to victory really based off of themselves with their athleticism, their arm strength, their know-how, how smart they are on the football field. I don't know. I think it's more risky to spend all that money, give up draft picks, and go after this guy and hope the guy doesn't get hurt, hope he doesn't, struggle. I mean, his MVP year was, 4 years ago? He's a really good football player, but it's not, and this is, and I'm in the minority here, I can promise you that. I'm not all in on that one.
You get a lot of blowback in Atlanta when you're doing your daily radio show?
On that topic or in general?
That topic.
Yeah.
Trust me, yeah. I know the pushback comes all the time. It's the nature of the business.
That's right. No, definitely. We have a 5-man showdown here, which is hard to believe. It's the locker room. It's called on 680 The Fan.
You're the lone wolf in that locker room, it seems.
I was pretty much the lone wolf in that group of people inside the locker room. So I'm standing pat and fighting my way out.
Oh, I bet you this. You're going to catch a lot of heat in like December when Taylor Heinicke's starting games for the Falcons. Because that seems inevitable to me that eventually Heinicke will start this year.
Oh, God, I hope you're wrong. Let the young kid learn and come into those. Our schedule is not that tough, man. We have an opportunity to take advantage of a suspect NFC South, although they made some nice moves. This free agency and Carolina moving up to the number one spot is intriguing. But I think we have a chance to improve our defense, which we've done already through free agency, get after the quarterback. We've been the worst in the league in sacking the quarterback the last few years, and I'm worried about that, man. It's been tough to watch teams go up and down the field and not be affected by our defense very much.
Baker and Carr, what's kind of your reaction to them joining the NFC South party with Baker going to Tampa and then Derek Carr going to New Orleans?
Yeah, I like Derek Carr's game. Does he scare me? No. I think he'll throw you the football every once in a while. Baker Mayfield is, I don't know what he is. He just kind of keeps bouncing around different teams. I think he's fourth team in 3 years and trying to find his way. So doesn't scare me. I think they improve their rosters with those guys for sure. But those guys don't scare me as far as the NFC South is concerned. But I do like Derek Carr a lot. I think he's a good football player. And another guy just playing the last couple of years with one of the worst defenses in the league really hurt his cause. So I'd like to see him succeed, but not in New Orleans. So he's in big trouble now.
Brian Finneran, before we let you run, you talked about those Panthers moving up to the number one overall pick. I know you watch a ton of college football. You think it's Stroud or Young as the number one pick?
I am another one I get blowback on. His quarterback, I had a chance to play with Chris Chandler and Michael Vick and Matt Ryan, and there is something to being a 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 220, 230-pound quarterback in this league. It gives you an advantage over the line of scrimmage. Gives you an advantage to take a beating when your offensive line breaks down. So 5'11 quarterbacks, 190 pounds, scare me to death. I will take the 6'3", 225-pound C.J. Stroud, who's done everything that they've asked him to do in Ohio State. And I know the Ohio State quarterback run in the NFL has not been impressive, but I'll take my chances with that one. Although Bryce Young is a special talent as well, but if I'm picking, I'm taking C.J. Stroud.
Since you're in Georgia country, Stetson Bennett, what do you think a team's getting if they take a late-round pick on Stetson Bennett?
Stetson Bennett proved me wrong time and time again. What a competitor and a football player. Again, the size scares me, but I could see him, if he does the right things and keeps his stuff together and stays clean, I think he can have a nice career as a backup in the NFL, have an opportunity to start and do some different things here and there when guys get banged up. I think he's a fifth, sixth, seventh round free agent type guy that can have some success. So he can throw the ball, he can spin it, he's sneaky athletic, and I think he can do a good job in the NFL.
Brian Finneran, always good to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear whatever I want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified Merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It seems like there's starting to become a little bit of a shift in the number one overall pick. When the trade happened, the general feeling was it was going to be C.J. Stroud. Or that was the first name that was thrown out there from... It was Joe Person who covers the Panthers, and then other people did kind of echo that sentiment. Now, last week, we played you that audio of Adam Schefter on NFL Live saying that he's hearing it's Bryce Young. Today, one of the more respected mock draft guys, NFL draft guys, and Daniel Jeremiah mocked Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers as well. Let's hear from Scott Fitterer, the GM, on what he's looking for and the quarterback he drafts with the now number one overall pick.
I mean, obviously, it comes down to leadership, guys that can process quickly, accuracy, someone who can run the team, you know, get you in and out of plays. It's not just about making throws. It's about managing the game at the line of scrimmage. It's about doing all the little things right during the week.
And Mel Kiper, by the way, he's predicting that it's C.J. Stroud. So there's a different voice in that conversation. Hickey, right now, if you had to take a guess, Who's the number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
I would say when it's all said and done, it'll be Bryce Young.
It should be Bryce Young. But I think it will be C.J. Stroud. Now, the holdup for me is I don't trust David Tepper. Now, David Tepper may be right here, though, because reportedly right, his preference is that it's Bryce Young, and according to reports, Frank Reich really likes C.J. Stroud. If you're being a good owner, you should trust the people that are making the decisions, right? You brought in to make the football decisions. Don't just make the decisions on your own when it comes to picking players. I would think that eventually, or I would hope eventually, Tepper listens to Frank Reich. I don't know who Scott Fitterer wants. That's a different part of this conversation. But since it's been reported that Reich prefers Stroud, I'm still going to think that it will be Stroud until I'm proven wrong. But if I was making the pick, I would go Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young's the better quarterback.
Frank Reich never worked with a quarterback under 6'4", which obviously would be an issue for Bryce Young, who is not 6'4".
Yeah, nowhere close to that. You're taller than Bryce Young.
I am taller than Bryce Young.
You're 5'11".
What? He's 5'10". No, 5'11". He is 5'10" and 1/8". So I tower over Bryce Young. With that said, it's still loving to be my quarterback. So, and Bryce, if you're listening.
Wait, so you say you're 5'11"?
Yes.
Do me a favor. Can you put both hands up in the air?
Sure.
Okay. I can see 5'11".
What? I am standing here with my hands over my head like I'm playing good legal guarding defense. And now that makes it look like I'm 5'11".
Yeah.
Well,
okay. You don't look 6'11".
No, I do not look 6'11", nor would I want to be 6'11". That's too tall.
Maybe when we go to the draft in Kansas City. If we get some one-on-one time with Bryce Young, we have him go back-to-back with Hot Take Icky.
I would love that.
You think he'd be down?
I'd say, hey, whoever drafts you, boycott it, go to the Colts, all right, Bryce? Trust me.
I had someone tweet me. Remember when he walked into the combine with that large tight end?
Yes, I think, Michigan.
Yeah, someone goes, is that Zach Gelb next to Bryce Young? If I stood next to Bryce Young, I would make Bryce Young look very, very small.
I mean, I'll say this. There's not a lot of people that make Bryce Young look big. We'll say that.
I forget who I took a picture with recently, but it was, now I remember. I reposted a photo that I took with Ian Eagle at the NCAA tournament last year, and Someone commented, are you a giant or is Ian Eagle just really small? I do think it's a mixture of both.
I was going to say both sound like they are right there.
You know who chimed in and gave that line it's a mixture of both?
Who?
Jim Solania.
Oh. Oh.
Ian's not on Twitter.
Wow.
That we know of.
I was going to say, doesn't he have like a burner somewhere?
I would think he has a burner. When you're in this field, I feel like you have to have some access to a Twitter account.
Well, you got to know what the information's going with.
I don't know, but when you're a play-by-play guy, I feel like they'll just give you all the information.
Right, but you know.
Especially at that level.
But he's also a guy who's in the know.
And
right?
he's witty, knowledgeable. Too. Right. I would be great at Twitter. He's very witty.
I would say he's great at Twitter. I bet you he's on Twitter. I bet you he fires off some good tweets. Maybe if he ever retires one day, we'll...
He's definitely an egg face right now.
Oh, definitely. Follows maybe Kevin Durant. Maybe he, just for fun, has gotten into Twitter fights with Kevin Durant.
Goes after Kyrie a little bit.
Could you imagine?
Adam Thielen says he believes the Panthers are close to winning a Super Bowl. This via the Pat McAfee Show.
Honestly, wasn't really planning on going to the Panthers and went on a visit there just to hear him out, because I wanted to go somewhere that I felt like I had an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And when I went there, I sat down with Coach, I sat down with the GM, I sat down with all the coaching staff, and I felt like Carolina was the place to do that. I feel like there is a real chance to win a Super Bowl.
That means the interest and the deal wasn't as robust on the market as Adam Thielen thought it was going to be. You can't sell me Carolina is close to winning the Super Bowl. And I've been someone that said they have a chance to win the division this year. I like their defense. I don't know what to expect out of the quarterback because we don't know who the quarterback is going to be yet. Offensively, I like their line. Their line's fine. But I can't sit here and say they're anywhere close to sniffing a Super Bowl, Hickey.
Is he that far off? I don't think he's that far off. You're not competing this year. But you look in the NFC, it's the Eagles, it's the 49ers, question marks after that. Your division stinks. There's really no team, even this year, that really scares you that much. If you hit on the quarterback, which is a major, massive
major.
If, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, but the Panthers, I think, have most of the pieces there ready to go to where, if we're talking about 2024, I think it's crazy to say that they could compete and win some games and be a threat in the NFC.
Play me his clip one more time. Go ahead.
Honestly, wasn't really planning on going to the Panthers and went on a visit there just to hear him out. Because I wanted to go somewhere that I felt like I had an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And when I went there, I sat down with Coach, I sat down with the GM, I sat down with all the coaching staff, and I felt like Carolina was the place to do that. I feel like there is a real chance to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, a real chance to win a Super Bowl, but when? How many years is Adam Thielen playing at a productive level?
Well, he signed, a three-year deal? I would say he's cutting it close. I would guess right now your window is probably year three.
Because remember, Frank Reich comes in, year one's a wash, year two you improve, and then year three, that's where you're really supposed to contend. Now, don't get me wrong, you could expedite that process if you hit on the quarterback, and they have a really good defense in place, but there's still a lot of questions for me on the offensive side of the ball. Remember, DJ Moore is no longer there.
Adam Thielen, who's solid. You have Miles Sanders, who's productive.
Yeah, it's good.
Like you, and you're not going to have a number one overall or a first round pick next year, which I was going to use a Bengals reference because they were a kind of team that went from
Jamar Chase,
zero to hero, and they helped with Jamar Chase. But again,
you
can
turn around quickly in the NFL.
Yes, you can.
But there's a difference of being a really competitive team and then a Super Bowl team. I don't think right now they're close to being a Super Bowl team. Austin Eckler, and why he's looking for a new contract, courtesy of the Green Lights podcast.
Look, man, like I'm so underpaid right now as far as my contract and what I contribute to the team. It's like I am relentlessly pursuing this. Like I want to get something long term done. I want a team that wants me long term.
Yeah.
Right. Because look, I'm at the peak of my game. Right. Like I'm going to score you another 20 touchdowns. As long as I'm healthy, I'm going to score you 20 touchdowns. I'm going to have, you know, another 1600 all purpose yards.
Yeah.
Right. I'm getting half my value of what I could be getting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like I am relentlessly pursuing someone who wants me.
I think the Chargers should find a way to get it done. The question just is, where do you go from here? And running backs get very tricky when it comes to getting that next contract. I know Buffalo just signed Damian Harris. If I'm the Bills, I'd still be interested. The Dolphins, it seems like they're not leaving any stone unturned. They've been aggressive. I go make a move. I don't know if they want to get a deal done in division, but if you're a team like Denver, at this rate, why not? Go get Russell Wilson some more help. And I don't know when Javonte Williams is coming back. So those are three teams that come to mind. Like after that, a lot of teams already made moves at the running back spot. So it does get difficult, even though we all know Austin Eckler is a tremendous, tremendous talent. But if you're the Chargers, I think they're close. I would not risk, or I would not play around here, and then you lose Austin Eckler when another team comes calling and they get an agreement, and then maybe you get a trade done. Scott Drew joins us next.